Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Adam Scott.
I'm Brandon.
And today we are discussing Jon Favreau's directing career. This is our next installment in the Director's Cut series that we're doing. We've done Alfonso Cuarón.
Catherine Bigelow.
We've done Danny Boyle.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Mann.
Yep.
I think that's it.
That's it.
So, I'm excited. I like Jon Favreau a lot. Except for a little period of time when he directed Iron Man 2. But we'll get there. All right. So, we'll just start off the bat with the first movie that he didn't really direct, but he
It's he his wrote. Movie.
It's his movie, yeah.
He wrote it. He took it around.
He produced it.
He performed it on stage long before it was ever a movie.
When you think of him, this is the first movie you think of him.
Most people you say, because the person who directed Swingers is Doug Liman.
Yeah.
But every time you say, oh, Doug Liman, the director of Swingers, they're like, Jon Favreau didn't direct that?
Yeah.
Like, that's the automatic response.
No one ever says, oh, my favorite Doug Liman movie is Swingers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's Jumper, actually. Swingers, what year was that? I'm pulling up.
1995? 96,
dude.
Six. Damn, I was going to say 96.
Way off base. How do we best... So, for the new listeners, if you're new to this, the best way to listen to this is on an iDevice, Apple device. Because if you don't want to get something spoiled, you could just forward to the next movie. So, if you haven't seen Swingers, you could just go ahead, hit forward on your iPad or wherever you listen.
There's nothing to spoil in Swingers, so.
Yeah, well, maybe someone wants to watch it first and then come back. Wannabe actors become regulars in the stylish neo-lounge scene.
That's an amazing synopsis.
That is a terrible synopsis. Ricardo wrote that himself, by the way.
Yeah, I wrote it and I posted it on IMDb.
What is neo-lounge?
I don't know.
Late 90s swing revival? Because that's what it is.
I have more questions now than ever.
So here's a question I have about Swingers. Maybe you guys know.
Talk to me.
So Swingers is wrapped up in the whole swing revival thing.
Yeah.
But did Swingers kind of start that, or did it latch on to a thing that was already happening?
It was already happening.
Yeah. It was starting, especially in that area, like in the Los Feliz.
Right. Because I didn't grow up in L.A. Yeah. I was in Aurora, Colorado.
Making meth.
Well, no, that's not what we're known for.
All
right. We're known for is equally as awful, though. But I feel like Swingers started that in Denver, like carried it out.
Oh yeah, definitely. It definitely send it out to it. Like there was no Twitter back then. There was no Facebook. So
what?
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
AOL.
So it definitely sent it out into the rest of the country. So 1996, it's a movie about a guy getting over his heartbreak. The movie starts off and he's talking about this girl he left in Chicago. He's pining over. The lead character is Jon Favreau. His group of friends are played by Vince Vaughn, Ron Livingston, who starts off the movie. They're at Cafe 101, actually. If you're a local LA person, you'll recognize that. You'll recognize a lot of places if you watch that movie.
The Dresden, Marty and Elaine.
Yeah. Patrick Van Horn. Van Horn is another guy, one of his friends. Alex Desert. Who else? It's another dude that hangs out with him.
Patrick Van Horn plays the... I can't remember his character's
name.
Sue. He's like the more beatnik guy.
Yeah.
Adam, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I'd seen him in more stuff. He was really good in the movie. Vince Vaughn is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Which is why he naturally broke out. And Ron Livingston's fine, I guess. But he was really good, Patrick Van Horn.
Yeah. So it's... Swingers written by Jon Favreau, produced and directed by Doug Liman.
The Bourne Identity is Doug Liman.
Bourne Identity, Jumper, the new Edge of Tomorrow comes out this year.
All You Need Is Kill.
No, I didn't direct
that. Was the original title.
I wish it had kept the original title. Yeah. So this movie is really cool because it's kind of, when I hear Jon Favreau talk about it in Q&As, he talks about how he always gets people that go up to him talking about how that movie got him over a heartbreak or something like that. This was your first time watching it, Jenny. What did you think?
I really liked it.
Because you gave it a high rating on Letterboxd, right? You gave it like 4 stars.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
It was. I love this movie. It every time I watch it, I always have fun with it. Some parts are really frustrating, mostly like dealing with Vince Vaughn. Like, I feel like,
but in this one, I feel like he has a charisma with him.
He's bearable.
I mean,
yeah. He's bearable.
I mean, dealing with a friend like that would be very
But he's exhausting. Like, and we'll cross over into this when we start talking about Maid. But in this one, he's a manageable friend like that.
Yeah.
Where he has his limit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he'll stop at a certain point. Like, he'll leave. He'll get loud and, like, stand on the table for a second, but then go ahead and leave the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I think other times, he isn't that person.
I feel like in this one, he's more believable as a person. Yeah. Like, we all had a friend like this.
Yeah.
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 And he doesn't just like set out to he actually wants to help Mikey.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't set out to destroy him at every turn. His own selfishness and egoism.
His genuine intent is to get him laid, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't even upset when he went and knocked on the door to get him out of the room to call his voicemail or his ex-girlfriend or whatever he's doing.
Yeah, to check his voicemail.
Yeah, he wasn't even mad about that. And I feel like we'll talk about it later, but I feel like in Maid, he would have been like,
it made you would just start punching him, calling him.
He actually was trying to help his friend.
Yeah. So it makes it feel more like a genuine like relationship.
Yeah.
And like, this was on my top five when we did the 100 thing of like movies that impacted your life. So like around that time, this was all us, like as a group of friends.
Yeah.
Like since we were dumb kids, we idolized them.
Yeah.
As opposed to seeing the sadness that lurked beneath.
Yeah. So basically the movie is about the guy getting over a breakup. He's an actor. He's kind of not been getting the breaks he's been looking for. And I guess they're all actors. So same with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, they're all struggling actors. Yeah.
And he's a comedian too, right?
Yeah.
He's got and he like hosts different an circuit. Open mic night.
Different circuit.
Ha ha hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
The movie is really cool. I like that it goes to Vegas. It kind of, for a small indie movie, it has a lot of like production value and like
goes places. Because they just went in and shot.
Yeah.
Until they got kicked out. Yeah. So you get like the natural set, and they did that with like everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get like the energy of the room as it actually is.
Yeah.
As opposed to a set.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really dig Ron Livingston in this.
He's good.
He's always like a good, solid, like the best friend.
Yeah.
You know.
I've totally been to that golf course.
Oh yeah.
I play golf at that golf course. Yeah. I was like, oh my god.
There's a lot of places you've probably been to, but they're a little different now. So
the Cafe 101, I thought it could have been, but it looks a lot different.
It looks a lot different now.
And so I was like, I think that's supposed to be Cafe 101, but
it's like
I don't really remember.
My neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been to Dresden with you, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Did anybody not like this movie?
Everyone likes this movie. Yeah.
I think it's a really good movie. I actually don't know how old you guys are, but the first time you saw the movie, you were younger, right? I feel like it's a good movie to see if you're in your 20s, early 20s even, probably is a good time to see it for your first time.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're in your 30s, I feel like you probably would be annoyed by the characters a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that.
If it's your first time seeing it. Like, I think it was a good age for me to see it.
I think I was
a little bit older.
When I saw it.
Yeah.
Right, so I think it's fine if you're, like, younger, too, but I think if you're too old, then it would kind of be not beneath you, but you know, like you wouldn't get the gist of it, I guess.
Moved past the point where they are in their lives.
But I think there's enough of it in it that rings so like brutally true.
Yeah.
Like with the thing with him, and it all centers around calls, but when they're in the trailer with the girls in Vegas and he has to call, check his voicemail, like that impulse. And then it's a scene everyone talks about, but where he comes home that night and calls the girl back that he met at the club and just over and over leaving message after message.
Because he keeps getting cut off.
Yeah. Because he keeps getting cut off. Like, that is just so brutal, but so honest.
Yeah.
Just totally real.
One of my favorite, scenes is opening scene where he talks about like being infatuated with this girl and how he basically says Ron Livingston's giving him advice and he says basically you have to like move on and like live your life, you know, and it's really painful and then eventually you'll forget about her, and then when you forget about her, that's when she'll come back. And then he's like, oh, then I take her back. He's like, no, then you won't want to take her back. It's like, it's a, like a weird thing. But that was really, really interesting to me. And
how old were they at the time that this was made? Do you, does anybody
know? When they made it?
Yeah.
They were like in their late 20s.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, I think they were all like 28, 29. When did you guys see it? How old were you?
I mean, when it came out.
When it came out? Yeah. I was in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 15, something like that, 15, 16.
John Favreau was 30 when it came out.
Oh, shit.
When it came out.
When it came out. So he was 29 when he made it.
That makes sense. There's a wisdom to it where they seem like they're playing 20s, but they seem like they're out of it, yeah. Like looking back on the 20s.
Vince Vaughn was 26.
Oh, really? He's younger.
Oh, yeah. He looks really young.
He looks really young.
Looks like a little baby.
Yeah. God, he looks 18. Yeah. Yeah.
And then this kind of spawned a lot of like of that lingo, you know, like calling girls babies.
Oh, money. Your money.
Money. Yeah.
You're so money. Money. Oh, we said that for years.
Yeah.
So money,
I still say it.
I still say it. Yeah. Vegas baby. No one ever said that before.
No one's ever gone to Vegas and not said that.
Yeah.
And some people haven't even seen the movie.
Yeah. They
but
have
they
no
know,
idea.
They know that.
They're like, oh, they say that in The Hangover, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of assholes.
And then also, what was another thing? The whole when I was in high school is when I saw this movie, so I didn't know, like, well, it's not really a rule, but their rule about calling girls when you get the girl's number,
yeah,
and you gotta wait
a few days, a couple days.
He's like standard 2 days. He's like, but I like to go 3 days. And then he asks, when are you guys gonna call your babies? He's all 5 days.
This place is dead anyway, man.
Yeah.
I think I said that last weekend.
I had a friend in high school who, that's what he would say all the time. He'd be like, it'd be like an awesome party, and he'd be like, man, let's get out of here. It's dumb. It's dead. So, yeah, it's spawned a lot of lingo. A lot
like
of cool
big
scenes.
Big bear, man.
Like, we don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie. We're really hoping he makes it. There's a lot of great, like, just, like, stuff that you know was improvised on set. Vince Vaughn mostly. Like, all of his stuff looks so
Mike,
natural.
Is he clean? Let him in. Fucking pink dot guy.
The scene where in the motorhome. Like, just, like, the story Vince Vaughn telling about the audition. Yeah. Like, he's just so good with all his dialogue and stuff. He's a standout character, and you could see why he kind of broke out.
Yeah, and they had done, like, I guess to drum up some finance for the movie, they had done a bunch of stage readings.
Yeah.
Like, with the cast. Yeah. And I feel like that really pays off with the group dynamic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, they all function really well. It seems totally natural.
Yeah, yeah. Really good movie. So, as always, we do a Letterboxd rating. Does anybody have any other notes on this movie? No.
Nope. No, you just keep saying lines from the movie, though.
Yeah. Man, you're like a bear with these claws,
like a
and
big
these
bear, man.
These fangs. You have a bunny. You don't know how to kill it.
You don't want to kill it. You just want to bat the bunny around a little bit.
Yeah. So as always, we do we rate our movies that we talk about, especially in the series. I really enjoyed it, and we do a Letterboxd rating, which is a movie social media site. Letterboxd, just like it sounds, but without the E at the end. You can go half a star to 5 stars. See, if you go 5 stars, there's nowhere to go. So I always go 4 stars as general. Like, I really, really liked it. So I give it 4 stars.
So you don't give anything a 5-star rating?
That's reserved for
So my 5 stars are reserved for, like, There Will Be Blood. That's a 5-star movie. The Master.
Things that you would say are perfect movies.
What about 4.5?
4.5 are things that, like, are almost perfect. See, like, 5 are for movies that could be eventually classics, you know?
Okay, ask me what I give this movie.
What'd you give this movie?
5 all day long.
Okay. All right. There's so many, you don't even know it. Look at how cool you are.
It's perfect. So money, baby. Yeah.
All right, so you give 5, I give 4. Jenny?
I went 4.
Yeah.
I think I like how the side of the table is split. I'm with Brandon. I give it 5 stars. Really?
I think I would have given it a five if I was a guy. Like, I honestly think if I was a guy,
that's a weird thing to say too, though.
No, I mean, I gave something else on the list of 5, ooh, but I think it's very me. Mm-hmm. Whereas this movie, I think, is not as me, but I liked it a lot.
Spoiler alert: she gave Elf fucking 5.
But so, yeah, I feel like it's not as me, but I liked it a lot, and I thought it was a great movie. I probably wouldn't own it.
I think being a guy and seeing it
at that age,
at the right age, it's a seminal film,
right in the wheelhouse.
I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Heavy rotation during high school.
Oh yeah, it's still kind of. If I'm kind of like, if I want to watch something just fun and stuff, I'll just put that on because it's just a fun, good movie with that good dialogue.
Now I just really want to rewatch it because I haven't watched it now that I live in the neighborhood where it takes place.
Yeah, that's true.
You're literally down the street for most of those locations.
Well, yeah, the Brown Derby used to be on the corner around one corner from
now. Now it's a bank.
It's a bank.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The residence still there.
It used to actually be. I did go there once when it was still like kind of a club thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's a stupid Chase.
Oh man, I was gonna see if it was still there.
I went when it was still the Derby, and it fucking sucked.
It wasn't the Brown Derby. It was just the Derby.
Yeah,
the Brown Derby was...
The Brown Derby is now encased in like a strip mall thing. And they've
it's down by the Ambassador Hotel. Yeah.
Oh, they just moved it?
Yeah.
No, it's still there. It's just like... It was literally like surrounded by like a mall.
It looks like they put a hat on top of a shopping center.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. The Derby used to be around the corner for me, but now it's a Chase.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, like, for the 100 episode, I just watched some clips of it, and I was like, fuck, I forgot how great this is.
Yeah.
Because you've seen it 1,000 times, and so you think, like, oh, well, I know what happens in the movie and stuff, but then you're like, fuck, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like that house party in the hills, I feel like that's probably, like, right behind my house.
Yeah.
I need to rewatch.
When they all drive, the funniest part. When they all drive. They all drive.
Which is
I had
total,
no idea why.
It makes
and Rory
so
was
much
like,
more sense.
Rory was like, oh, totally. So if case one of them wants to take home a girl, I was like, oh. See, that would never occur to me. I would ride with a friend and go home with one of the guys. That would be my party take. That's what girls do.
So the movie's kind of for you.
Never would occur to me.
Also. This movie is just really well written. Like, it is about the culture of the time and stuff like that. But at its heart, like, it really is about a guy getting over guy getting over a girl and moving on. All his scenes where he talks to women are really painful.
Yeah,
no matter who
super
he's talking
painful.
To. The scene where he's talking to the girl in the bar, and she's like, "Didn't you just come in and ask me for application?"
A job?
Yeah. He's like, no, I'm doing good. I just bought myself a car. Treat myself. So. but I like that about how he had been with that other girl so long that he had forgotten kind of how to talk to girls and stuff.
Yeah, and that kind of, at least for me, not really knowing at the time at all how to talk to girls, it felt the same way. Like, whether I'd been out of a breakup or whatever, it still was as affecting in the same way of just, like, being totally uncomfortable in the situation.
You always wanted to be like Vince Vaughn, not like Jon Favreau.
No, I always wanted to be like Jon Favreau in the scene with Heather Graham.
Oh.
Where you're really shy and uncomfortable, but, like, just something, like, everything clicks
she
for
gets
one moment.
Him. She gets him. And
like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everything clicks. Yeah. And, yeah, of course, I didn't know how to swing dance, though.
Yeah. I don't know how to dance, period. After this movie, they all kind of broke out, did a bunch of acting. Vince Vaughn, they both kind of had pretty good runs in their acting career. I don't know if you remember, you're a big Friends fan. Do you remember Jon Favreau in Friends?
Oh, yeah.
He played the MMA fighter.
Pete.
UFC before it was MMA.
And he gave her a $20,000 tip.
Really?
I remember the exact amount.
Then he flew her to Italy?
Italy to have dinner. He goes, "Do you want Italian food?" And then he flies her to Italy.
Yep. Wow. Look at you.
Yeah.
He
was really in love with her, and she just was like so not into him.
Because he
was awful.
Smashed people's faces.
Like,
she was supposed
stupid.
To be with Chandler.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was rich, though. That's what I'm saying. She could have married him for his money. No, I'm just kidding.
So then he did Deep Impact. He did Very Bad Things as an actor. He did a bunch of stuff. The Replacements, which the girl who plays the girl who works at Starbucks.
I forgot he was in The Replacements.
The girl who plays the girl at the bar when he asks when she, the girl who works at Starbucks. She only did very few movies, and the other one she made was with Jon Favreau in The Replacements.
Oh, yeah.
She played Keanu Reeves' love interest in that movie. But then in 2001, he came back to writing and directing. He wrote and directed Made from 2001. A lot of people don't like this movie because of Vince Vaughn's character. I love this movie.
I think you might stand alone.
Yeah, I think so.
You stand alone.
It's just so enjoyable to
see. I can't even bring myself to rewatch this movie.
Jon Favreau squirm.
I just rewatched it like an hour ago.
Yeah.
And there were things that I enjoyed, none of them being Vince Vaughn. There's just the problem is it's relentless. It's relentless with no forgiveness. And I mean forgiveness as in like there's no balance in the character or the movie until like 5 minutes towards the end.
Yeah.
When he actually feels like an actual friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
If any of that had been anywhere, I thought of it like Man of Steel, where Superman basically kills tens of millions of people.
Yeah.
Superman.
Yeah.
He doesn't save anybody. Mm-hmm. He kills millions. Mm-hmm. If they had just had two shots of him saving someone.
Catching people.
Yeah. I might be like more invested in him as a person and not just as this psychopathic alien monster.
Yeah.
And Vince Vaughn is the same way in the movie, where like if they just showed a couple of the moments like in the car at the end, when he's just something as nice as like pulling the seat down for the girl to get into the car, like something as so mundane as that, he tells her to fuck off in the painting store when with the ashtray, basically.
Yeah,
he makes fun of her for painting a frog purple. There's just nothing for me to hold on to. And then beyond that, like the plot of it, I know it's a MacGuffin, like, oh, we're doing this drop. Yeah. It's really about the two of them, whatever. But none of it makes any kind of sense. Like, if I'm not buying the people, it's hard to buy anything.
I haven't seen it since the first time. And, like, I just, like, all I remember is hating it. That's all. Like, I remember hating it. I remember Puff Daddy's in it randomly when he was still called Puff Daddy.
Yeah.
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 Peter Falk's
in it. He's actually good in it.
Yeah. Right?
Here's the thing with that movie.
Peter Falk.
Yeah, Peter Falk's in it. Yeah.
He's really
and I remember hating it.
Here's the thing about the movie is that I feel like they're both kind of hot at the time. Like, Jon Favreau had done a lot of uncredited script work on a lot of movies and stuff. So he was kind of hot, and he's making this movie with his friends again. And I feel like he kind of just gave Vince Vaughn a little too much freedom. And there's a lot of improvising, because if you watch the deleted scenes, every take is different, every take is exaggerated.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a movie there that could have been so good. Like, if like you said, like if Vince Vaughn would have been more like the end, peppered into the whole movie, just kind of little bits of sweetness.
Just so I knew that there was a human being
and
underneath.
And that why he was friends with, why they were so good friends.
Because the problem is he is really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't make me laugh because it always comes off like him being an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
So without any balance to it, I just, because he is really good in it. His lines are technically like funny, but I just, there's no let up.
Yeah. But for me, what makes it is everybody else in the movie. It's just so good. Like, Peter Falk is so funny. Actually, for the longest time, I hated.
So funny, really? I mean, he's fine. He's Peter Falk, but he doesn't have like a ton to do.
Yeah, I dig all his scenes, and I dig. For the longest time, I hated, what's her name? Famke
Janssen.
I hated her because of this character.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like she's like the only good thing.
I mean, she's so good that it's kind of like I hated Matt Damon for a while because of The Departed, because he did such a good job, you know, that I was like,
you hated his character.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he did such a good job that it made me hate them, and I couldn't separate the two. But Famke Janssen did such a good job and so realistic and like just being like a deadbeat mom. That I hated her for the longest time.
Yeah, the last 5 minutes of this movie are amazing.
Yeah.
Is that
Jonathan Silverman in this movie?
Yeah, Silverman plays the coked up bachelor who like stuffs her head in his crotch and then makes Jon Favreau go nuts.
And then
it was nice to see Jonathan Silverman.
Tom Morello's in this as well, from Rage Against the Machine.
Who is Tom Morello in?
He plays the bald guy sitting next to Jonathan Silverman.
Oh, I don't even remember.
He's the guy that.
That
pays to sleep with the girl, the hooker, with the stripper.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Yeah, and I really dug Faison.
Faison Love, he's okay. Yeah. It's just, but everyone is so ancillary to the central two.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just so sick of them.
Yeah,
that anything's nice.
And by far the scene stealer, and he always is a scene stealer, Sam Rockwell. love.
Oh
Sam
yeah, he
Rockwell.
Is really good at it.
Oh, yeah.
He plays the like kind of gay bellhop. He's like, excuse me, sir. He's like, yeah. Where does the hot ass hang out tonight? He's there's this club, but it might be hard to get into. He's like, look at me. I'm a tall drink of water. You let me worry about that.
See, like, those are funny lines, yeah. But he's just being such an asshole. Like, yeah. When they're all at the end of the night, like, they had, you know, been drinking at the club or whatever, and Sam Rockwell comes in and, like, sees the mess and stuff, and Vince Vaughn is like, just go. And he starts, like, throwing stuff at him.
At him. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That is so mean.
Yeah. Oh, God, stop.
Like, yeah. It's not cool. It's not even, like, funny, mean in, like, a Hangover way, where these are all despicable assholes.
Yeah.
But you're still kind of, like, rooting for them somehow. I don't know. Maybe if Todd Phillips directed this, it would be good because he seems to really know how to make terrible people like endearing in a movie. Yeah.
And there's a lot of cameos that I was surprised rewatching it. Like, so Screech is in it, of course, because Screech is in the club.
And yeah, Screech is in it. Who is Drea De Mateo?
Drea De Mateo, Bailing, and the girl from Spin City.
You mean Biling?
Biling, whatever. Bilingual. the girl, she's
from Spin City. I know she's in. I think she's in one of the Fast and the Furious movies too. She's in a lot of stuff.
No, no,
but I can't.
I'm thinking of Eva Mendes.
Oh, I am thinking of Eva Mendes.
She's Italian girl. I don't know her name, but there's a lot of cameos.
I think she was on The Sopranos also.
She might have been. Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, there's a lot of cool little cameos. I like the guy who plays the dragon, the red dragon.
Oh yeah.
he's a. Can you get me some Charlie? He's like Charlie. Cocaine. But yeah, it's at the end it kind of ties it together, and I like how it ends, like how they're like a couple at the end, kind of.
Yeah, like the end is really affecting. Like everything from him going to get the girl, everything from him giving the money back to Peter Falk, to going to pick up the girl, or going to get her, but then just taking the girl instead, is actually really great.
Yeah.
I just wish some of that had been in the movie, because otherwise it's just so fucking painful.
Yeah. So then, what else did he do? So he doesn't do
ratings.
Huh? Yeah. What do you give this?
Oh, ratings. Duh. I'm gonna go with a 3.5. Jenny.
I did 2.
Half a star.
Oh, whoa. Wow.
I'll give it a 1. Because of the ending. And there's something there.
Yeah.
I feel like you could recut it. Get Topher Grace on it. Give him a recut made.
Maybe. Yeah. So then he does a lot of... He does some TV work. Directing. He directed an episode of Undeclared.
The Office he directed.
The Office. A bunch of stuff.
He produced Revolution and directed the pilot.
Yeah. But before that, 2003... He directed a movie called Elf with Will Ferrell. Now, Elf, he didn't write. He was a hired director. And this is kind of where you start to see, like, oh, man, him getting bigger budgets. Because till this point, he wasn't working with any more than, like, $5 million on movies. Like, was made for, like, dirt cheap.
Well, even then, it wasn't that big. Because Will Ferrell also wasn't big at this point. Yeah.
I heard him talking on, like, The Nerdist or something and talking about how he had a hard time getting them to hire Will Ferrell because he came from TV and he...
And Old School hadn't come out yet. Like Old
he had made it, but it hadn't been released yet. And,
right.
So he starts making this movie. And this is a movie that Jenny loves, right? This is one of your favorite movies?
It's great.
Yeah, it's not only one of my favorite Christmas movies, it's one of my all-time favorite movies.
It's really good.
It's okay, yeah.
It's...
You hate Christmas, though.
Yeah, I do.
So...
That's crazy. Why do you hate Christmas?
I just
it's the best
people,
time of the year.
Because he hates people. Happiness.
No,
it's true.
I just don't like people on the streets.
No merriment.
You don't like what?
People on the streets and stuff like that.
People on the streets.
Yeah, what does that have to do with Christmas?
Doesn't like people on the streets.
Just like, it just
like carolers? You get a lot of carolers
here? I fucking hate carolers.
You know what I...
Hate Zooey Deschanel.
You know I participated in Christmas like heavily like for the past pretty much most of my life. And I have never seen people caroling.
Really?
This is true. Well,
I've been caroling.
I mean, in California, I've never. It doesn't seem like something that would happen.
You get shot.
No one. Yeah, no one walks up to a door at night.
Yeah, that's true.
You get shot if you go caroling. You wear the wrong colors.
I've seen carolers like stationary carolers, not roving carolers, not nomadic carolers.
Yeah, people be singing down the grove or something. Yeah, Bah humbug to you.
Here's the thing. This year, we weren't in town for Christmas, and I loved it. I loved not being...
We still did Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Okay, tell the audience where you were for Christmas time.
Okay, come on.
I was in a different part of the world. So here's the thing.
Not Lyon.
Yeah, not Lyon.
Not Lyon.
No, I'm saying you should say it because it's amazing.
I was in Paris.
Yeah. That's an amazing place to be at Christmas.
Here's the thing.
And we went to Notre Dame for a Christmas Eve service.
I don't mind that.
Holy shit.
I don't mind all that.
Like,
so.
We did Christmassy stuff.
That's like freebasing caroling.
Yeah.
Here's what I hate. I hate the traffic.
And wait, so you hate Christmas because of the traffic?
Yeah. Everywhere.
That happens all the time.
That's hilarious.
In
because
LA. You know that.
Christmas is when I don't get any traffic because everyone's at home hanging out.
Well, Christmas Day. No shit. Yeah. But. The rest,
oh, I'm sorry.
People are shopping. I can't go to fucking Target without like walking 2 miles to park my car.
That's why you do Amazon.
Yeah.
Why you gotta go to Target?
I gotta buy toilet paper, okay? I gotta poop.
Or you go down to the store.
You live across the street from a dollar store.
Yeah.
That's true.
Dollar toilet paper.
Also packed, dude. Also packed.
Okay, so I think what
you
we're
stock
learning,
up.
Yeah, you need to stock up.
Stock
go to Costco.
Yeah.
Costco is like Christmas every day, though, because it's always packed.
Yeah. I hate Costco out here.
But yeah, so just stock up at the dollar store.
Yeah.
Stock up before December.
People will think that you're stocking up for an earthquake. It's like, no, it's for Christmas.
Okay.
For
Christmas. All right, so this year, who's going to be the ghost of Christmas past? Who's going to be the ghost of Christmas present?
I want future. I call future.
All right.
Confession time. I don't like the idea of
Christmas. I want present because he's fat and hungry.
He eats a lot. I don't like the idea of, like, Christmas itself.
The idea of Christmas
I like
itself.
Presents. I like presents. Don't get me wrong.
You like the getting part of Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't like the Christ part of Christmas?
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be about that.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Christmas doesn't have to be about Christ.
Well.
Yeah, kind of.
No, it doesn't.
Papa Noel.
I don't want to get into like Saturnalia
territory.
We're
going
here
on a really weird tangent.
Yeah, I don't
Can we
think
just
we
get back to how awesome Elf
anymore.
Is?
Let's go back to Elf. Okay, Elf is really, really fun.
I feel like I had to be pulled kicking and screaming to watch it. Like someone got
me
really
drunk to make me
watch it. And I loved it. And then I was like, wait, did I just love it because I was drunk? And I rewatched it. I'm like, no, I really love this movie.
Yeah.
It's
hilarious.
Yeah, I
hadn't seen it until like a couple years ago. It was the first time I saw it.
Really?
This is one of those movies that people, it's kind of like the Lego movie where people are like, oh, it's so funny, dude. And I'm like, I don't believe you, dude. I don't believe you. Too much hype. And then I went to see it. And I'm like, all right, it's funny. I'll give in. It is funny.
Bah humbug.
But it's not like my favorite movie of all time. But Jenny, tell us, give us a synopsis of this movie.
You want me to read the thing?
No, just give us. You
I
love
feel
this
like
movie.
You could,
just
I feel
read
like
his.
You could,
yeah. Just do his monologue from the end of the movie when he's telling his own story.
Yeah.
So it's about an orphan baby that climbs into Santa's bag when he's in the orphanage and ends up on the North Pole, and then he gets raised by elves. And then he finally realizes that he's not an elf and that he's actually human. And he goes and he tries to find his dad in New York. And it's all his hijinks ensue. And he goes to New York for the first time. And it's like a child in New York. And it's funny. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It was a really good synopsis.
He's got them. It's just like the little things that he whispers.
The candy.
And
the elements don't stop.
A lot of great, like, quotable lines.
So
many quotable lines.
Bye, buddy.
I like to whisper
to you. Find your dad.
I know him.
So this has like a really great cast. Like, so playing Buddy, Will Ferrell, playing his dad is
his biological father.
Biological father is James Caan, who's just awesome.
He's like, always awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Santa is
played by
Bob Newhart, right?
No, he's the guy he's the elf that raises him. Bob Newhart.
Oh,
elf.
That's right.
Yeah,
Papa
elf.
That's right. Pop elf.
You're thinking
God
of
damn it, I love Bob
Newhart. Ed Asner.
Ed Asner.
Just
yeah.
Being crazy.
Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel. His father's wife, Mary Steenburgen, who's awesome and funny. This movie reminded me a lot of Clifford for some reason.
Clifford the Big Red Dog?
No,
with Martin Short and Charles Grodin.
Amazing.
I love Clifford.
Clifford's an amazing
movie. I love
movie.
Clifford. Yeah.
I feel like I need to revisit Clifford.
Peter Dinklage, again, Faison Love is in this. He's funny again. Amy Sedaris. Andy Richter. Kyle Gass. Artie Lang playing the
You smell like beef and cheese.
and Jon Favreau playing the doctor. The doctor seems pretty funny.
Yeah, I was trying to remember who Jon Favreau is.
He keeps eating the cotton balls. What is there to say about this movie? There's some special effects at the end. So, kind of him getting prepared, like unknowingly, kind of learning a lot of lessons he's gonna eventually implement into Iron Man. But big budget. I think I read an interview when this was coming out. I read an interview when he did Zathura, and he said that he had to leave L.A. because he was married and he has kids, and he had to leave. And he said after this, he realized that he only wanted to work in L.A. because it was hard for him to like leave his family. And I guess he almost got divorced during this movie because he was away so much. But after that, all of the movies he's filmed as close as possible to L.A. and stuff. But this movie takes place in New York, and it's
fun.
I'm
surprised that it's only PG.
Really?
Like, I just feel like it should be, like, PG-13 or something. I don't know why.
It really writes that line.
I don't know why. Yeah. It's just, like, some of the jokes.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was listening to that Nerdist interview, and he was saying that originally, he thought it was just going to be a kids' movie. Like, he thought all the kids were just going to like it, and that was going to be it. And they were fine with that. And so they did a test with a bunch of kids, and the kids all loved it, and it went fine. And then someone was like, okay, well, we have to do it with, you know, teenagers just because we have to say, you know, this is a kids' movie or something. And they did it with teenagers, and they all loved it, too, because they got the... like the claymation jokes and like things like that, where the little kids didn't get that, and so he was like it, and then that's how we kind of knew it was going to be a hit, because not only did the kids like it, but the teenagers liked it too.
Yeah,
I thought that was really interesting, because it's so true. Everyone, any person of any age likes this movie.
Yeah,
like it's so rounded out really well.
You like this better than Christmas Vacation as a Christmas movie?
I do. Yes. Ooh. I like Christmas Vacation a lot, but. I feel like I've seen this one a lot more than Christmas Vacation.
I prefer Home Alone but more than this as a Christmas
movie.
No,
way third.
I love Home Alone.
This is in my top five. And
Home Alone 2 is way better than Home Alone 1.
I agree with that.
Come on.
I don't know. That sounds like me when I kept saying for the longest time that Wayne's World 2 is better than Wayne's World 1, and then I watched Wayne's World 2 and realized it was a pile of shit.
Yeah, I don't know if that's...
I just recently rewatched
it.
Oh, it does have Tim Curry.
Home Alone 2, yeah, it is really good.
It is still good.
I love Home Alone.
But still, not...
I think I've kind
neither.
Of turned on Home Alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's wrong with you, dude?
I'm not a big fan of Home Alone anymore. But I haven't seen Home Alone 2 in a while.
Watch it.
I'll watch that.
He's all about three now.
All I wanted was that recorder he had.
Oh, the Talk Boy?
Yeah, it was so awesome, dude. Bastard. I did have two Game Boys, though. So what are your guys' rating for this? I give it I'll give it a 3.5. Jenny?
I'm glad you concede on
mine's
that.
Mine's a 5.
5.
5 stars.
5 stars.
Oh, wow. All right. So 5 all around, except for me.
You hate happiness.
It's the merriment. We decided.
The merriment.
Yeah.
He enjoys being happy. He just doesn't like watching other people being merry.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Too much Christmas cheer.
So then he did another TV show, and then in 2005 he did Zathura, a space adventure.
Zathura.
Have we all seen this?
I have not. I have not seen Jumanji in space, but I saw Jumanji, so I can just imagine it in space, right?
See, I haven't seen it in a while, but I really loved it. I remember being super surprised by how much I liked it.
Really?
Yeah, Zathura.
How old were you when you saw it? Well, you had to have been...
24.
Yeah, it's not that old.
How high were you when you saw it?
Well, I don't know, probably high, but...
Yeah.
But no, I remember Dax Shepard was really good. It was not... I mean, yeah, it was Jumanji in space. Everyone says that, but it's like, it was written by the same fucking guy. I mean,
yeah. So
I didn't mean it as a slight.
If you're
going to
attack
saying,
anyone, attack Chris Van Allsburg for...
I was not sliding it by saying Jumanji in space. I'm just saying I just haven't seen it.
So let's give some of the background.
And Dax Shepard is less annoying than Robin Williams.
No. Let's talk about the movie. So it's written... it's based off the same books, the same author of Jumanji. And it is essentially Jumanji in space. It is the same story of Jumanji. But this one takes the it's the same board game they get sucked into, but this one is in space instead of Safari. And it stars Josh Hutcherson, who is PETA, right, in Hunger
yes.
Games?
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart.
Who is Bella in Twilight.
I never saw Twilight, so.
But you know she plays Bella.
I don't know her character's name, but
you
now
know
I do.
She's in Twilight. Yeah.
Tim Robbins plays their dad.
Oh, yeah.
And then besides that, there's just it's just a bunch of like CGI stuff, basically.
It's not though. The robots
Dax
all. That's one thing I loved about it. The robots all practical.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not really in space.
And it's Jonah CGI. Bobo.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Wait a minute.
Plays Danny.
Wait, Jenny, shut up. Are you telling me?
They didn't go to space.
Are you telling me that he didn't actually take the house into space?
Well, we don't know that. I wasn't there, so I can't.
Next, you're going to tell me they didn't tie a bunch of balloons to that house and up, floated all the way down to South America.
I haven't seen that movie.
What? You haven't seen it up
well,
yet?
No. What? Are you Jesus. Serious?
Who's Jonah Bobo? Who's Jonah Bobo?
He plays Danny.
But has he done anything else?
Crazy Stupid Love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. He's actually really good in that. So two brothers start playing this board game, and they get sucked into space. Their house does. And their sister gets frozen, Kristen Stewart. What did you think of this? This is your first time watching it.
Yeah, I didn't really like it. It wasn't made for me, though. I mean, I think it's probably a fine movie for kids. It didn't hit the level that Elf does with kids, teenagers, adults. It hit a level with kids. And I just didn't have it.
And for me, like, Jumanji was so fun that...
With Jumanji is I don't know how I would feel about it if I saw it for the first time at this age. I really love Jumanji because it came out when I was the same age as the kids. Like, that little boy, I was that same age. And so it was great for
me. You wanted to be a monkey?
I loved it. Yeah, I wanted to be a monkey.
You wanted to cheat and become a monkey.
Mm-hmm. And get chased by a guy with a gun.
But I don't think you have to be a kid to like fully appreciate a kid's movie.
I
some movies, I agree with you. But I think this movie...
Elf you enjoy and you're in a kid.
But I saw it in as an adult. I really liked it. I thought it was really funny. I thought Dax Shepard was really good.
I just wasn't a big fan.
See, I like Dax Shepard in so many other things that this I didn't really like him in. Because I've seen him... I watch him every week in Parenthood. And he's hilarious in that. And so this is just like dumbed down Dax Shepard. Like, really...
I'll agree with her. I didn't.
Kristen
enjoy this movie.
Stewart was kind of a pointless character.
Yeah, she should have died in the beginning.
I thought the brothers together were kind of that was a cool little thing that they had going.
This is my maid.
Yeah. We're all shitting on your fucking.
I can't shit on it. I haven't seen it. I'm sorry.
But also this movie kind of again a bigger budget, more CGI mixed with practical effects. So there was a lot of things that he learned from this movie that were right up the alley into the next movie that we're going to talk about. But for the people who did see it, what was your rating?
Hold on.
My rating was 2.
Oh, I did 1.5.
I was being courteous. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I'll give it I haven't seen it in a long time. I'll give it 3.5.
Fuck you, dude. So Zathura. From 2005, and then in 2007, he does a pilot for a show called In Case of Emergency that never sees the light of day.
Aww.
Then in 2008, he gets this indie movie made called Iron Man. And technically, it is an indie movie. Those who have seen, who've listened to Kevin Feige talk about this... This
was going to make or break him.
Yeah, and this was kind of going to... They were either going to continue doing the Marvel movies or kind of the comic movies were going to go by the wayside. And it was independently produced. Avi Arad did have some money invested in it from Marvel. But they weren't a studio yet. They weren't officially a studio. And it was funded by a bunch of like hedge fund people and stuff. So it was kind of like a really big independent film. And they had a script that they kept rewriting on set all the time. So I've heard Jeff Bridges in interviews talking about how he's like, that movie wouldn't have been the success it is if it wasn't for Robert Downey Jr. and John Favreau literally rewriting every night. He's like, they would go home after shooting and then rewrite the scenes for the next day. He's like, all the skeleton was there in the original script, but it was all rewritten by them, and you know, they deserve all the credit and stuff. And so this kind of launched the Marvel Universe, right? The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Watching it again, it really established the tone.
Yeah.
Like the feel, yeah. The tone, the yeah. look, which sometimes is a detriment, like a little brighter.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. Yeah. But it, you know, the comedy with the action, especially this, he did a really good job because still the budget wasn't very big.
It wasn't
huge. Yeah. And he did a good job of building it in pieces
yeah.
to where, like, him flying became a big action sequence. And it was, like, thrilling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just him flying.
Yeah. And the studio did not want Robert Downey Jr. in the beginning. He was a liability still from all the times he'd been in prison and in not, well, jail and in rehab and stuff.
And waking up in people's houses.
Yeah. And I guess at this time, both, you know, he was ready. Robert Downey Jr. was ready to kind of make a comeback.
He had already done Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, though.
Yeah, he had.
Yeah.
But, I mean, nothing big. I mean, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was small, but it showed that
he can bring it.
Yeah, yeah. Which he never, there's no performance by Robert Downey where you're like, eh, he didn't bring it. Like, no matter how high he was, no matter how stupid the movie was, U.S. Marshals, he still brings it. I mean, like.
What's that Thanksgiving movie?
Home for the Holidays.
Yeah, that one he does too.
Yeah, like
and
no
you
matter
can tell how fucked up he is.
Yeah, no matter how bad the movies are, he always brought it. No matter how high, like I said, like he just.
Whoa, are you saying U.S. Marshals is a bad movie?
No. Tommy Lee Jones, isn't it? Playboy Billionaire becomes Iron Man, and oh. The end scene when he says, I am Iron Man, that was on the fly. Like, it was improvised, and it was an alternate take, and they left it in there, and it kind of changed a lot of the things they did on the fly changed a lot in the Marvel Universe, in a good way.
Well, that's hard to say, because there wasn't a Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Well, they kind of built it, you know, from the ground up.
Built it out from this movie.
Yeah. And I really dug this. It's not my favorite Marvel movie or anything.
It's still in the top three.
It's still really strong.
It's in my top two.
It's fun.
No, top three. You're right. Sorry.
There's. So let's see who stars in this. Jeff Bridges, Peter Billingsley, is in it. Who he often works with.
Terrence Howard,
who got fired right after this movie.
Wanted too much money.
Yeah.
John
Gwyneth
Favreau.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. Pepper Potts.
John Favreau as Happy Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie Bibb. Clark Gregg. Setting up Coulson.
It's Coulson.
Yeah. Who was John Favreau's neighbor. And, you know, he asked him if he would make a cameo. And then I think he was only supposed to have one scene. And then he kept adding scenes for him.
Yeah.
And then eventually, Coulson's got his own TV show now. So.
Yeah.
Big part of the Marvel Universe. So,
Paul Bettany?
Yeah.
As Jarvis?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Fun movie. I really enjoyed it. It's still always fun. When it's playing on TV, I like watching it. It's good action. Not a lot of action, but the way he builds the movie, like you said, it kind of builds up to it. And even though the last set piece at the end isn't the most dynamic action scene, it's still fun.
It falls prey to the thing that people always did, and then they did again with The Incredible Hulk, where we're going to put him against a thing that's the same thing, but a bit bigger.
Yeah.
And their character will win out, as opposed to, like, brute strength.
Yeah, yeah.
Origin movies are hard. Like, if you look at all of the origin movies out there, they're hard to make that people like.
Especially if it's an origin for a character where everybody's already familiar with.
Yes. But this one just hit it out of the park. Like, it just was... Because you have to introduce the character and everything before you actually show any of the fighting parts, this one, it had Robert Downey Jr. in it.
Yeah.
So that just made it enjoyable without even having any of the action. Like, it didn't even matter that there isn't much I mean, there's a little bit of action at the beginning because he's in Afghanistan, sorry.
Which is an amazing sequence.
Yes. Yeah. And then, so you see a little bit of action there, and then it stops for a while until the end, but it didn't even matter. Like, most of, I feel like that's the biggest beef that people have with origin movies is that there's no action. But this one, it was fine. Like, it was such a good balance between entertaining, or Robert Downey Jr. entertaining us and the action that I think it was the perfect first Avengers movie that there could have been.
Yeah, because most of the time it's someone, they're doing an origin movie about someone that everyone knows. Everyone knows Peter Parker, how Peter Parker becomes Spider-Man.
We don't need to know anymore.
We don't need to know anymore.
We don't need to see the spider.
Yeah, let's continue. Let's just put him in a different scenario and just tell a good story. But here, no one knew who Iron Man was. Like, Iron Man was not a popular character at all.
Yeah.
Like, the general populace didn't really know anything about Iron Man or Tony Stark.
Yeah.
So to have a guy like Robert Downey Jr. playing him, where you're automatically bought in, like, he's charismatic, he's funny, like, you're buying into it right away, then watching his journey becomes interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just waiting to get to, you know,
but I feel Superman like fighting. Not very many people knew about Thor either.
That's true.
But I feel like his origin story was boring.
Well, I don't think it's an origin. It's not an origin story. You just kind of dive right into what his world is.
Yeah, kind of. I guess
he's always Thor. He just doesn't have.
He was born Thor. Yeah. His origin story would be him being born.
They still have to explain.
Right. Yeah. You have to be introduced to Asgard.
It's still the hero's journey into.
Yeah.
Sure.
Maybe not so much an origin, but like the. Explaining him, I guess.
Yeah.
And I feel like that one just didn't do it as much. And I'm not sure if it was Chris Hemsworth, but it was something.
Oh, he's not as charming.
I think it was 90% Chris Hemsworth.
Maybe. Yeah.
He's not charming?
He's not as charming as
Robert Downey.
As Robert Downey.
Maybe.
Well, they're different things, but but
he's good. No, he's good.
He is Thor.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Hemsworth is Thor. That's the thing that Marvel nails every single time is casting.
You know what? I was kind of unsure about Chris Evans.
Yes.
Even after the first one, I was like, yeah, he's fine. But I wonder if they could have gotten someone better. And then not until part two that I saw that I'm like, this guy had to play Captain America.
He is Captain America. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I didn't give a shit about Captain America. Until I saw the movie.
Yeah. So you guys liked Iron Man?
Mm-hmm.
Five?
Really?
Are we not doing our scores yet? Sorry.
I know. No, let's go. You're going to go five?
I'm going five.
I'm going to go four.
I did four.
Yeah, me too.
I actually think it's the same level as Captain America 2.
Oh, I like Captain America way better.
Avengers is my favorite. And then Captain America 2 and Iron Man 1. Are the same level.
Okay.
They match up for me.
Adam?
It's been a while. I want to say 4. No. 4.5.
Okay.
4.5-ish. Yeah. I need to rewatch it. I do love it. It is one of my favorite Marvel movies.
My favorite Marvel movie, even better than The Avengers, is Captain America 2. And then
that's
The Avengers.
That's just crazy talk.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's the silliest thing you've said.
Yeah.
I'm only a little bit behind you on that. It's it's good. It is very, very
but
good.
But Avengers is better.
It's not.
Oh, Avengers is the best.
It's not.
No.
Avengers.
Good. Iron Man might
Avengers
be
the best. You didn't like Captain America 2?
No.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Nothing's wrong with you, dude. You didn't see Zathura, and now you're shitting on Captain America 2. That's two strikes.
That's hilarious.
Keep that right there down, Brian.
All right, I'll be another odd man out. I think Iron Man might be tied with me at number three with Thor the Dark World.
Oh.
Which I surprisingly love.
Is that the second one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I loved it.
Is that the first one or second one?
I didn't like either one, really.
Oh, God.
I like the second one more than the first one.
Here's the thing.
So that helps.
Thor's movies I have to get through to get a little bit more, like... Avengers Nuggets.
I feel like I have to watch
Captain America too.
Fuck you, dude.
I feel like the Thor movies I have to watch to understand what's going to happen in the next Avengers movie.
See, I'm all in, especially the Dark World, which is, you know, you've got Loki, you've got him.
I really love Loki.
The action is insane.
Yeah.
Loki's pretty great. That whole last battle where they're like going through the different dimensions and the portals and like continuing the fight, like it's crazy good.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. You guys are crazy.
The Dark World.
It was interesting, but I don't know if it was good.
Yeah. all right.
I know that I liked Thor the Dark World better than Captain America 2.
Really? Oh, wow.
Whoa. That's
Those are fighting words. Draw.
Yeah. Wow, interesting.
Well, all right, since we're still talking about the Marvel Universe, let's go on, move on to the next film, which he kind of rolled on off of Iron Man to Iron Man 2. And he was kind of like the darling to direct the Avengers, and I feel like that's one of the reasons he didn't come back for Iron Man 3. Like, he was just like, I remember hearing when he got Iron Man 2, hearing like Jon Favreau is going to be the guy to direct the Avengers. That's what I kept hearing from the beginning.
I think that's the thing people assume because he's the guy who started it. The two most successful ones.
Yeah.
But I think Marvel, like their casting, matches filmmakers really well with the material.
Yeah.
Like they want to go for like James Gunn with Guardians. I mean, Edgar Wright, they know what the tone the thing needs. Joss Whedon with the Avengers, like he knows how to juggle a big cast and make them all individuals at the same time. Like they nail that. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think half a star.
For Iron Man 2?
Yeah.
Wow, really?
The worst.
Let's talk about it. So the villains, the people involved in Iron Man 2, of course, Robert Downey Jr., this time Mickey Rourke playing
Whiplash.
What is it?
Whiplash.
Yeah. Ivan Whiplash. Bird guy.
This time,
Whiplash bird guy.
Give me my bud. Where did my bud?
Bird. My bud.
Where did my buds?
Don Cheadle playing Rhodey. Yeah. Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow.
As Black Widow.
She's hot in this.
She was fine in this.
This was where we got introduced to Natasha. I forgot about that.
Do you remember when she first got cast, you're like, oh, fuck, she's going to come in and ruin the fucking movie? And then, no, that was...
I don't think I ever said that.
After I saw her in this, I was like, I'm going to be her for Halloween. And I did. Boom.
I did too. I was her for Halloween as well.
Yeah, it was really awkward. We both came
I will say, I don't think this is entirely Jon Favreau's fault. I think this was a transitional thing with Marvel trying to figure out how they're going to build out their world, and that crushed this movie.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We didn't talk about...
There's other stuff that really sucks about it.
Let's talk about one thing we didn't talk about in Iron Man 1, was that Jon Favreau decided to put Sam Jackson as Nick Fury. That was his choice, and...
Is that true? I think that was...
That's what he said.
Okay. I thought that was more of a Feige thing.
No, that's okay. He said, I want Sam Jackson as a little, like, nugget, as you know?
Right.
As a little Easter egg.
I mean, he probably had to approve it with Marvel.
Yeah.
Especially
since it's
the alternate universe version of Nick Fury.
Right. Well, that's the thing. The thing about Sam Jackson's Nick Fury is that all the Ultimate comics were modeled after Sam Jackson, for the 7 years before this was ever made.
Yeah. Iron Man 2 stars, like we said, Don Cheadle replacing, what's his face?
Terrence Howard.
Scott Johansson.
It's hard.
And again, the amazingly great scene stealer, Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, he is the best thing about this movie.
Yes.
The scene where he's dealing out the weapons, where he's selling the weapons, that is the best scene in the entire movie.
Yes.
I think the second best thing about this movie is Scarlett Johansson's stunt double.
Yeah.
Which you also get a lot of in Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Which I suspect is a guy.
I don't think so.
No,
ridiculous. It's a woman.
It's
just there's a couple shots where she should have come up from the bottom of the frame more quickly so her hair was moving more.
Yeah. Yep.
It just doesn't cut well with like her hair. Just like not moving at all.
There's a lot of things in that movie that don't come up.
Oh my God. I didn't want to go back there. It's just making me mad.
Leslie Bibb coming back as a reporter.
Yeah.
Kate Mara in a little small part.
Who's Kate Mara in it? I don't remember.
She's the one that subpoenas him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Who else do we have in this?
Gary Shandling,
yeah.
Senator, yeah.
He's pretty...
I love Gary Shandling. Gary Shandling is one of my heroes growing up. Larry Sanders Show, it's the Gary Shandling Show. I love him. He weirds me out now, man.
He's got a weird face.
He's always had a bit of a weird face. I just think he's also got this whole Zen thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he was good. He was good in this.
Yeah, Hydra. So
he was weird in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
John Slattery as from Mad Men.
That's right. Howard Stark.
Sterling as Howard Stark. I dig that. Which is weird because then Dominic
delivering.
Yeah, it's a weird
all
transition.
Of the exposition
Dominic,
for the movie.
Dominic, what are you doing, dude?
I'm so angry. I'm ripping the cords down.
Then Dominic Cooper plays a young Howard.
Yeah, that doesn't work for
Howard
me.
Hughes.
That retcon doesn't make any sense. Yeah. he hits a growth spurt in his 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
weird.
And he changes his nationality.
Yeah, it's so weird.
So Iron Man 2, we could all agree the best parts, Sam Rockwell.
Oh, and DJ AM.
No, not a fan.
Aw, not a fan of DJ.
I know he died, but just because he died doesn't mean he like needed to be. I don't know.
Why? Why not do a, like, what do you hate about him?
That he's a DJ.
So what? What? That's why you hate him?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
He's has no.
Whoa, dude! No, last night just, a DJ saved my life.
Really?
Yeah. The scene he's in, he is the victim of just being in a terrible thing.
Yeah. So, okay. So, ratings, Letterboxd ratings, you said half a star.
Do I have to give it half a star?
Yeah. I'm going to give it
I walked out.
I was so excited about this, too.
I know. My girlfriend talks about it all the time. She's never seen me so sad as walking out of Iron Man 2 when I was just, like, in disbelief. Like, it was just so bad.
Like, how
like I've never been so excited for something.
How could God let this happen?
I just... God, the racing scene.
Yeah.
When he just is walking out there, just obliterating cars left and right, and no security guards even, like, pull a gun or something.
Yeah.
Like, nothing?
That's...
Nothing.
That's your biggest problem?
Well, that's... But that's one of the first moments where I'm like... Where that really took me... I'm trying not to be nitpicky about it, but that really took me out of the movie where I'm like, well, this is, like, a major event. This is a major world sporting event.
Yeah.
Security at, you know... A weekday football game is more intense than this, apparently.
Yeah.
Than this guy just walking out there and no one trying to do anything.
Well, they're in Europe. It was like tea time or something.
He had an orange suit on. Oh, he was obviously maintenance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They have so much time to react to the situation.
Yeah. So I gave it half a star.
Bring me my boards.
So I just rewatched it last week
mm-hmm.
because I hadn't seen it since it came out on... And then the theater.
Yeah.
And I actually thought it was going to be a lot worse. In my head, I remembered it being a lot worse. And I didn't mind it as much the second time watching it. It still has Robert Downey Jr. in it. It still has Coulson in it. And it still has Black Widow in it.
DJ AM?
It still has Black Widow in it. And I still like that fighting scene at the end. That whole fighting scene. And then when Hogan comes in... John Favreau comes in and he's like, I got him. And he gets the one guy and she's like killed the whole room.
Yeah.
It's funny. And that's true. I don't mind it. It's not my favorite, obviously. I still think I don't like Thor more.
This one,
I gave it, maybe I need to rewatch Thor though, because it's been a while.
Half a star.
I gave it 2.5.
Too nice.
That's too crazy.
No, yeah. I didn't mind it. I literally didn't mind it as much.
I feel that not... It's unfortunate because it really gets crushed. It could have been a better movie if it didn't get crushed by all the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff shoehorned in that just becomes like exposition. So there's no narrative.
I like
at all.
That stuff too. But I like the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff.
But the problem is all the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff solves all of his problems for him. There's no journey for his character because S.H.I.E.L.D. comes in and just gives him answers whenever he needs them. It's like, oh, you're having a problem? Well, here's your father to explain everything.
In fact,
here's a big 3D map where we can point out where this thing is that you'll need and figure out how to build this thing that you require. And that was my problem with it, where it's just
saying it's a good movie. I'm just saying it wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
Right.
Originally.
I feel like the problem was he was pressured to include a lot of that stuff because they were trying to build that whole thing out with the bigger Marvel world, and it just didn't blend as well as it could have.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's 2010, and then
hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're still doing your.
But I do.
Can I give it?
I guess what I'm saying is those. I do like those parts. They just feel like something out of a different movie.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. That's why it wasn't as good as John Favreau could have made it. I get what you're saying.
But I don't know. Like, is that true at all?
What?
Like, they did, was he pressured at all to like include that stuff?
Yeah.
Or is that just
thinking? Well, I feel like he was also pressured to complete it at a certain time. I feel like he couldn't put. Yeah. Whereas with the first Iron Man, I feel like they had.
He was at his own leisure.
Yeah. And I feel like the studio came in a little bit more and pressured him to finish it.
And by this time, they had built their had started building through the universe. And also,
Because Incredible Hulk.
To be honest, that kind
well.
Of yeah. is what happened with Spider-Man 2, this most recent one. I feel like it was probably the
already,
same
they
thing.
They had already set a
in
release
an
date.
Atomic way compared to this.
Yeah.
It was just a sequel to a shittier movie. So, I mean, it was going to be shitty, right?
Right?
Adam, what did you give this?
Can I give it like 2.75 stars?
No, you got it. This is called Letterboxd rating, not imaginary.
Well, Matrix. Okay, I'm giving it 2.5 stars, but still slightly better than Captain America: Winter Soldier, which I also gave 2.5 stars. I would rather watch Iron Man 2 than Captain America: Winter Soldier again. That's all
I'm
saying.
Wow,
that is crazy.
Blasphemy, dude.
There it is.
We'll move on to the classic.
Actually, I want to see what I gave Thor.
We'll move to 2011. 2000s. I had some wine, guys. 2011's Cowboys and Aliens. Where, again, the best part of the movie, Sam Rockwell.
Now I just feel like an asshole because I feel like I'm going to shit on this one, too.
I don't... It's one that I've rewatched, and I don't hate as much as I... Like, how Jenny feels about Iron Man 2, this is how I feel about this movie.
This one, I think it all fails in the script.
Oh, the first Thor, I only gave 2 stars, but the second Thor, I gave 4 stars to.
Whoa.
I guess I did like it. I thought I didn't like it.
Cowboys and Aliens.
I'm going to adjust
Did you watch Iron Man 2 again after you saw the second Thor? Oh, no, but you said the first Thor. You'd rather watch it again.
I like both Thors better than Captain America. I'm just going to put that up.
No, I was saying I'd rather see
Captain America anymore.
I said I'd rather see Iron Man 2 before I saw Thor, Thor.
Okay.
And that is true.
That's fair. I know why people hate the first Thor, and they're probably right. I just really like Chris Hemsworth.
So Cowboys and Aliens.
I just really like Robert Downey Jr. There you go.
There we go.
There's the thing.
Cowboys and Aliens. You guys are all skirting around the
Sorry,
topic.
It's hard not to go into the Marvel things.
Guys. Really. There's one main issue here, and his name is Robert Orci.
And Alex Kurtzman, but it's probably Orci.
Yeah.
Or Orci. What is it? I've heard both ways.
Orci.
Orci.
Orchid.
Orci.
Orci. And
Robert Orci.
Damon Lindelof as well.
Let's lump them all in together. He wrote it too?
Who?
Damon Lindelof?
Yeah.
I'm not going to blame Lindelof. I'm going to blame
That's the Lindelof side.
I'm
going to
blame Orci.
It's a very, very familiar
I
want to
like him.
Because the problems it has are all plot related.
Why do you want to like him?
It's the same thing of
like
I want to not
good
like
ideas.
Him. I
Lindelof?
Yeah, I want to not like him based on just shit that he's fucked
I
up.
I want
to
like him.
He has great ideas that never connect.
Yeah.
Damon Lindelof.
Which is a strike against him in my book.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying. But it's like Cowboys, like Roberto Orci's problem, the same thing with Star Trek. Is that there are some great scenes that don't mean anything when put next to the scene that comes after or before it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Daniel Craig.
The people.
Yeah, Daniel Craig, Harrison Ford, Olivia Wilde, Abigail Spencer. Keith Carradine. Clancy Brown. Paul Dano. Man, he's got a good cast. Adam Beach, Sam Rockwell. Anna Regatta. and Walter Goggins. Walton Goggins.
Probably the best part of the movie.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell.
I think the best part was the credits.
Beginning credits?
Ending credits. So
let's really talk about this without just shitting on it. Like what really don't you like about this movie? And don't just say, oh, it fucking sucks.
Okay.
That's easy.
It feels like it feels like they were trying to, it feels like a bunch of Western tropes.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like people playing dress up.
Yeah.
None of it feels real.
Everybody's in a different movie.
Yeah. And that's the disconnected scene thing where it's like, there are specific sequences that if you just viewed them, like, I don't know, in a trailer or in a presentation hall at Comic-Con that people would lose their shit over.
when I first saw the preview, I was like, this looks amazing.
Yeah, this looks great. Yeah. But if you're going to do a thing with cowboys and aliens, like you have to ground the cowboy part in a recognizable thing without it feeling false.
Yeah.
And it feels like, it all feels like a backlot, kind of, that sort of thing.
Exactly. And I think Adam hits a great point, which is it's always a director's duty when making whether it's a high concept movie or any kind of movie, that everyone knows what the tone of the movie is.
Right.
Even if you're doing like, hey, we're doing a romantic comedy, we all have to know what kind of, are we doing Annie Hall here? Or are we
everybody
doing,
needs to be on the same
how
page.
To lose a, yeah. How to lose a guy in 10 days. What are we doing here? You know? Right. And I feel like there was just a lot of heavy hitters, and even the producer's side. There was Spielberg producing, Ron Howard producing, and there was no one going, hey guys, let's make sure we're all on the same page here. What are we doing?
Yeah, I feel like they just left it. They're like, oh, we got Harrison Ford, so we'll let him be Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
We got Daniel Craig, we'll let him be James Bond in tighter clothing.
Two actors feel like they're in the same movie.
Paul Dano was great in There Will Be Blood, which was kind of a Western, right, guys? I don't know. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And then we got Keith Carradine and
Olivia Wilde.
Clancy Brown.
We'll just make her half naked most of the time. There you go.
Yeah.
Throw it up on the screen. Throw it up and shoot it.
I'm going to go ahead and say, even though I like him as an actor, he's great. Daniel Craig was a horrible choice for this. He's not a cowboy.
He just doesn't have... I don't know. It's just, it's weird. It's like everyone is wearing someone else's clothing.
It was supposed to be Robert Downey Jr., but he dropped out.
I don't know if he would be any better.
Yeah, I don't think he would.
Yeah,
be
I don't think so either.
He wouldn't be any better.
Because the problem is, I don't think the problem is the actors, right? It's like...
I think Daniel Craig isn't a good leading man for this. He's not a good cowboy.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely wasn't in this, so I would need to see him be good to...
I like the last James Bond movie.
Oh, no, he's amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm saying him being that kind of role.
Yeah. I don't know who I would have cast in this part. It's hard.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I would believe... that'd be more believable.
I would sooner... Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a good choice.
Yeah. Jonah Hill as Adam Beach's part. With big fake teeth.
So when like the aliens come in, there's just, it all feels like
fake.
It feels more the alien thing than the cowboy thing.
Well, when you start off with the actors not feeling like they're in the same movie, when you bring in a whole separate element that feels incongruous with the rest of the movie, it's just like pointing out the glaring fact that it already didn't feel like one movie.
Yeah.
So now it feels like
11 billion
different movies. Yeah. It's like, because everyone is in their own movie, and then you add aliens to that. So now everyone is in their own two movies.
And,
like, it doesn't gel.
Yeah.
None of it gels at all.
Yeah. Everyone is in their version of, oh, we're in a Western, and now there's aliens. Sam Rockwell is really cool, and Paul Dano are really cool, but none of it ever comes together. No two characters. I would say that no two characters are in the same movie at all. Like, they're in different, wildly different movies. One of them's here is in Young Guns, and another one's in Unforgiven. And I don't know what the fuck Harrison Ford's doing.
Are we allowed to do spoilers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did What's-Her-Face end up being an alien?
Who that?
Olivia?
Olivia Wilde.
She is from, if I remember, she's from, like, another world that those aliens conquered.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She came to the Earth to, like, help fight them.
Yes. Yeah. She's,
she is,
that's what she looks like, though.
Yeah.
Or is she supposed to look like it? Does she ever look like an alien? I can't
remember. She's an alien.
Is it a planet of hot women?
Yeah. It's not like Galaxy Quest where they're, like, wearing projectors or something. So that's what she looks like. She just, like, bleeds differently or something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing. Why?
Okay. There we go.
Why couldn't they just get Will Smith to be in this?
Because Will Smith costs $70 million.
How much does Harrison Ford cost?
Probably not as much.
Really?
It probably costs like $20 million, but God, he's just so bored, right?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
He's just really bored with everything.
Yeah.
Even we keep going back to the Nerdist thing with Jon Favreau, but it was him talking about Harrison Ford and like, oh, how you get, because he was on that podcast and I didn't even listen to the whole thing. It was too painful.
It was painful.
But he was talking about, oh, you got to get him angry to get the good stories out of him, Jon Favreau said.
Yeah.
And it's like, that sounds awful to be around.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get him so fed up with you asking about something, you're going to be like, ah, oh, fuck, okay. Well, when Carrie and I were doing the thing.
No, how he phrased it was like, how he got him talking was he said, hey, that Ewok thing was your idea, huh? And he's like, fuck no.
Yeah.
That,
I feel like him, and I also feel like Clint Eastwood would be the same way. Like, they're just both grumpy old men now.
I want to see them in a movie together, being like buddy cops.
They're the new grumpy old men. they should be in Grumpy Old Men.
Grumpy Old Men 3, The Reckoning.
Where they
have to go kill this chick that wronged them both. She's like, you fucked my friend and me? We're going to go find
you. We find out Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau have been murdered.
Yeah.
So it's them hunting down Anne Margaret?
I watched this movie. I'd pay $12 to see
with Morgan
movie.
Freeman.
Yeah. Well, he dies halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
And there's
he's not going to be happy about
there's
that.
A kid who keeps saying
no, he's just
it
narrating.
Ain't bent. Yeah. He's maybe your sights are off. He's all he's bent. Maybe your sights bent. It ain't bent. This movie isn't as bad as it is if you're playing a drinking game. Yeah. There's a lot to drink to. But I just had such high hopes for this because I just thought like, oh, the comic book's cool.
Well, I thought like if anyone it's could cool pull theory. This together, it would be Jon
cool
Favreau.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's what I felt like. But then it was a whole mishmash of blah.
Yeah. Ratings.
0.5 star.
You're so sad.
Well, it's like, what's? I'll never watch it again. 0.5 star.
You want this movie to go the way of the Atari ET.
There are movies that I will never watch again that have higher than 0.5 star. So,
but those are good movies that just like were really powerful for some reason, like Requiem for a Dream or something.
Well, that's a whole other story. That's a whole other episode. I'm just saying, like there are movies that, yeah, that like I enjoyed more that I still would never watch again.
I just
but yeah,
not with all my daughter.
I just was watching it and I was just flummoxed the whole way through. Okay.
I'm not saying you shouldn't give it 0.5 star. I'm giving it 0.5 star. I'm right there with you. I'm just saying whether or not I would rewatch something is not indicative of how many stars.
I'll give it a star because it's got Walton Goggins.
Wow.
I love Walton Goggins.
It's like saying, hey, I like the guy who did the credits, so the good fonts. He used a lot of great spacing.
Hey, if he was a buddy of yours, would you give it a star?
No, I'd still give it 0.5 star. Oh, okay. 0.5 star for me, Jenny.
You said the best part were the credits.
That was
no,
me.
He was just him.
I did 1.5, but I don't really remember it.
You're like, I was drunk, and...
And I don't really want to watch it again to decide, so yeah. I'm just going to go with 1.5.
All right.
0.5 star.
We should all watch it again.
No.
We should do the drinking game.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Every time Harrison Ford grumbles.
Yeah.
Every time we see Daniel Craig stifling his accent.
Yeah, and every time we see a little cleavage from Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, every time the camera is right there to catch it.
Yeah. All right. So this leads us to the last movie that Jon Favreau wrote and directed, this one himself. Back to the indie roots, back to the small budgets, back to kind of having a lot of heart.
Can I say real quick?
Throw it at me.
He was the best part. I can't even remember the name of it, but the Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston thing where they're going
the
around.
Breakup.
Yes.
No. When they're going around, although he might have been in that also. I don't know.
He was in that.
That's not what I'm saying. I haven't seen the breakup. He might have been great in it. But the one where they're going, oh no, it's him and, shit, it's him and someone else, Vince Vaughn and someone else, but they're going around to their different relatives.
Reese Witherspoon?
Oh, yes. Four Christmases.
Four Christmases. Jon Favreau is awesome in
yes.
Four Christmases.
I actually thought that movie was funny.
Yes, me too. I was surprised by it.
I went into it thinking it was going to be really bad though, and that might have helped. Yeah. But I've actually seen it twice now. I was like, I'll watch it again.
Because I think at that point I was just like kind of starting to wane on the Vince Vaughn thing.
Who are his brothers? It's so he goes to visit his dad, who's Robert Duvall. And his brothers are Jon Favreau and
I can't remember.
Is it Cole Hauser? I think it's Cole Hauser.
Oh, I think it is Cole Hauser.
I love Cole Hauser. He's really good. He's awesome when he's a dick. He's also in that movie. He's in The Breakup. Where when he takes him out and he's like he tells the girl at the club that he wants to wrap her up, he's like wrap you up in cellophane and just leave two holes. It's like what the fuck's up with this guy?
But I was really surprised by how much I like Four Christmases.
Yeah,
and Jon Favreau is great.
Yeah, so
and Patrick Van Horn's in it.
Oh, he's the guy sleeping with his mom.
Oh, that's right.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
All right, 4 Christmases, 3 stars.
Yeah. So, Chef, you guys haven't seen it. Jenny and I have. We did a review. Go back and listen to it. A movie about... There's two central themes of this movie. One being balancing, like, being ambitious with your career and stuff and balancing that with family and raising a family and such. And the second theme is how kind of you deal with critics and stuff. And I thought it was really, even though he says it's not, but I felt like, whoa,
Tim McGraw's his other brother.
Oh, who does Cole Hauser? I'm thinking of a different movie.
It's Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw? Yeah. The country singer?
Yeah.
The actor slash country singer?
Yeah.
This movie is about a father-son relationship and him dealing with that and his career. And also a great critique on critics, you know, which I thought was really fun. It was a really fun movie. It ended kind of abruptly and in a weird way, the movie. I won't give any spoilers because you guys haven't seen it. But
yeah,
I really, really enjoyed it. It was really, really fun. Especially like our group of friends and a lot of people we know that are really foodies and stuff. It's definitely a food porn movie. You're going to definitely leave really hungry. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, definitely. I really liked it a lot. Yeah. I thought it was great.
I gave it 4 stars.
Yeah, me as well.
Yeah.
I liked what I know of how he prepped for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like working in a lot of kitchens, working with guys and, you know, prep work, dishwashing, you know, for a long time.
Just and actually going to the all the actual locations. Yeah. That was really cool. Yeah.
Very swinger style. Where they just went in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put up a sign that said, "You're gonna be on camera.
Yeah.
Come next to the truck."
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
A great cast. Like him calling in favors again, like he did for like Maid and all and Swingers and stuff. But now, you know, he's a heavy hitter. So he's got people like Robert Downey Jr. making a cameo. Scarlett Johansson, Bobby Cannavale, John
Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo is like a supporting actor. He's amazing. More people need to give him bigger parts because he always plays the third banana in the fucking movie, and never like gets his due as an actor. And he's so underrated. Really great performance in this movie.
I love Amy Sedaris though.
Yeah,
okay. She has to be amazing in the movie.
Yeah, she's really got a small part, but she's
it's
fine.
Definitely a cameo. Yeah, it's funny and it was funny listening to him talk about how Oliver Platt plays the critic.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother in real life is actually a food critic. So he went through and researched with him to see like what they actually do in the situation. And I think that's pretty interesting. Like the research he did with behind the scenes and with actual food trucks and with food critics and things like that. It's so real. And
and it was him doing it like in montages and stuff, doing all the prep work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And cutting and everything. Yeah. I like that.
There's a really cool scene at the end. Don't let the credits
Stay
for the credits. There's halfway through the credits. There's
Nick Fury shows
Sam
up.
Sam Jackson shows up. No, it's in
that's
scene,
the abrupt ending is when he says he's Iron Man.
Yeah. And you're like,
he's all I am, Happy Hogan. In the beginning of the movie, he makes a grilled cheese for his son, and then when the credits roll in, they show Roy Choi from the Kogi trucks and stuff. Showing him how to make the grilled cheese sandwich on set. And the way he does it is like, you see like how food is an art form, you know, like how this guy's just amazing. Like Roy Choi is just like badass and how you see how he does it. And then how like Jon Favreau does it in the movie. And it's a really cool scene, like behind the scenes thing. I'm just, Now it sucks because I have to wait like 6 months to get the Blu-ray and get all the behind the scenes stuff that you know that I really want to see. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm excited to see it.
4 stars, definitely check it out. It's on limited release, but I think in the upcoming weeks it should be going wide. So
it might be on VOD.
You think so? Checked? I haven't checked.
I don't know.
Yeah, it might be. Check it out. See if it's on VOD. But overall, loved it. Love the movie, and now I can't wait to see what he does next because he's kind of
the Jungle Book.
Excited about. Yeah,
I was more excited, or at least interested. I don't know if excited, but he was on Magic Kingdom for the longest time.
He was,
which was going to be the big Disney live action,
like Night at the Museum,
bringing everything together.
Like out there though, right?
I feel like it was scrapped
because
he was on it for a long time, like two or 3 years, like doing prep, same like Guillermo del Toro on The Hobbit, you know. That amount of time.
Yeah.
But the Jungle Book, I don't know.
Why did Guillermo del Toro leave?
because it was just taking too long. Yeah. It's like, I want to go do something. It's like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Gonna go make giant robots.
Yeah.
All right. So that about wraps it up, right? I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does wrap it up.
Do you...
All right, so Favreau's career, how many stars? Letterboxd rating.
I like him a lot. I think
him a lot, too.
I think he even with his... I wouldn't even say bad choices. With kind of his falls, he's gotten up and kind of dusted himself off and made something better. So, I mean, what we consider, like, Cowboys and Aliens kind of, like, you know, a failure in that sense. I think that what he makes next, well, Chef was amazing, but next thing he makes, hopefully The Jungle Book with a big, big budget, I hope, like, it's a big success because I really dig him. I really like his writing, and I think, you know, he always hits really truthful strings when it comes to, like, relationships and stuff. And now he's older and he has kids, so he's more dealing in those themes.
Mm-hmm.
And I dig it. So,
yeah.
What else? That's it, right?
So four stars.
Four and a half. Yeah. No, four. P.T. Anderson's five. Come on. Let's not kid ourselves. He's no P.T. Anderson.
Or Terrence Malick.
Terrence Malick is like a six.
Two stars.
We're talking about Letterboxd ratings, not
talking
made
about Letterboxd ratings, dude. Not Brandon fucking Fantasy.
I said two
line.
Stars.
You said six. I was talking to you, you stupid.
Okay, so you can find this on Twitter at The Film Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERES.
I'm at Jenei, JEHNEIGH.
I'm at An Adam Scott, AN_AdamScott.
At BL Bennett.
All right.
There's always an awkward pause there. I feel like that's easy to spell, though.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay. Sure.
Two N's, two T's.
Everyone's just always waiting.
Again, follow us on Letterboxd. Letterboxd, without the E at the end. Love us, like us, whatever. Give us a rating on iTunes, whether you like the podcast or not. Fuck it. Give us a bad rating. I don't give a shit. It still counts. And they're more entertaining. So, but be honest. If you like the podcast, then give us a good rating. If you don't, name names. Yeah. All right. Until next time. What should we say? Avoid the noid?